hello everyone. So today I'm going to be packing for college. So I guess it's going to be like a ramble post or something. I'm at my first main bookshelf. I already packed one of my smaller bookshelves up, but that one just had like lots of random books that I have. And now I'm at my main bookshelf, which has like lots of my favorite books and old books that I read when I was a kid and stuff like that. And I guess I'm just going to ramble while I pack. And the volume might be a little bit weird because I'm going to be moving around, and like right now I'm facing the computer, and then I might be like turning away from the computer, and I don't know. It just might get crazy. But yeah, I'm going to stop talking now and start packing because I actually need to pack. Okay, so first to go in is East by Edith Patou. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, which is one of my favorite books. It was a book that I read for the first time when I was pretty young, I guess in fourth or fifth grade, and it was one of the first, like, quote-unquote big books that I read, and it's about a girl who was born facing the north, which, you know, bodes badly for her, because in Norse mythology it's like bad luck, supposedly. And it's about how she kind of gets like kidnapped by a bear, and then she goes on this huge adventure with this bear, and he takes her to a palace, and then he's actually like a prince that was had a spell put on him. It's kind of like Beauty and the Beast-esque, kind of. Also, it reminds me of the story of Eros and Psyche a lot. Yeah, it reminds me of lots of things, but it is based on a Norse myth, so yeah, it's not based on any of those. I'm sorry, I keep hitting this cardboard box really roughly. I hope it doesn't sound bad to you guys. Okay, next I'm packing A Lesson Before Dying, which is, you know, an old classic that everyone knows. And I'm also packing a ton of books while I'm talking about these books, so I'm not going extremely slowly. I'm just taking my time on each one. But yeah, we read A Lesson Before Dying my junior year of high school, but I had read it before that because I wanted to read it before that. And I also saw the play probably when I was like in eighth grade, I want to say. Yeah, eighth grade sounds about right. Now I'm packing How I Live Now, which is the book that I read some of in other recordings. If you want to hear more about that, then you should check that out. Aw, yeah, plug. Now I'm packing The Dalai Lama, A Policy of Kindness, which I never finished, but I did read a lot of it. I like that book. It's pretty good to read when you're just chillin'. Lord of the Flies, which we also read for school. Frankenstein, which we read for school. I loved Frankenstein, and I love Lord of the Flies too, but I really liked Frankenstein. The book Ishmael, which I've also never finished, but it's about a talking ape, basically. Oh, this book! This is the Book of Story Beginnings, which is a book that I read when I was in third grade. It was another one of the first big books that I read. And no, it wasn't third grade. I think it was fourth grade. Yeah, it was fourth grade. And gosh, I wish I remembered more of this book, because I read it at my library. I got it from the library when I was in fourth grade, and I read the entire thing in less than a week, which was, it was a pretty big book for my age, and, you know, usually kids have more to do with their lives than read at that age. But I didn't, and so I read that, and I remember reading at parties and stuff, and my dad would get mad at me, because, like, he wanted me to pay attention to the guests and stuff like that, and I would just, like, sit in the corner and read. And that was one of the books that just really affected me and stuck with me, and even though I don't really remember the plot anymore, I still get these vibes from that book. Like, there's just something magical, really, really magical about it. And so after I graduated high school, which was just a few months ago, I wanted to order it because I wanted to remember it. I didn't want to forget that it existed, and I haven't reread it yet, but I did order it, and it came in a few weeks ago, and now I have it, and I'm going to reread it sometime. And even if I don't reread it, I feel like just seeing it, owning it, will help me remember how much that book affected me when I was a kid, I guess. All right, next I have two books in the... Oh, sorry, something just fell. I have two books in the Echo Falls... I don't know how many books are in it. I was going to say trilogy, but I don't even know if there's how many books, so I don't know if it's a trilogy. But it's a series, and it's like a mystery series, kind of like Nancy Drew-ish, except not. It's by Peter Abrams, and I remember I really, really liked reading these books because I really related to the main character. She seemed... really cool, really smart, and she was into theater, and I'm into theater, and she was into soccer, and when I read those, I was also playing soccer, so yeah, it's kind of cool. Next book, Heroes, Gods, and Monsters of the Greek Myths. This is a really, really good book that goes into a lot of detail with all of the Greek myths, and it portrays them in ways that's, not portrays, I don't know, it words their stories really well. I don't know, it's easy to get through, it's simple, and we studied it my sophomore year of high school. Let's see, then I have two books in The Land of Elyon? I don't remember. And I did read both of these, and I remember that I really liked both of these, but the plot did not stick with me very much, so I can't say, I don't know, I can't really say what the vibe was, I guess. I remember that there was a town, and it was surrounded by walls, and there were caves, and it was kind of fantasy, magical, stuff like that. I have a very short little horror book called Wait Till Helen Comes that I think I bought in, like, third grade at the book fair. Esperanza Rising, which is a book that I have had since I was really, really little. I think maybe, because, like, I remember seeing this around when I was, like, three. So it's just something that's been around my house, and I have no idea what it's about. I have no idea. I honestly don't, but, it, just, like, looking at the cover is just, like, childhood or something, so it's, I don't know, it's just comforting to have, and there's so many little, it's paperback, and it looks like someone was, like, stabbing it with a fork on the cover or something. It has, like, all these little indentations in it. It's cute. Ooh, this is one of the first horror books I read, Revenge of the Shadow King, one of the first big horror books I read. That one's kind of cool. I remember that. I don't remember the plot too much, but it's basically, like, these kids play a card game, and now that I think about it, it's kind of similar to, like, Magic the Gathering. Like, they play a card game with all these characters, and they, you know, play a card game with them. And but in the story, like, something crazy happens. There's a spell. The animals in the cards come to life, and then craziness ensues. Yeah. Okay, next I have Ida B, which is, like, a fiction story. That's not fantasy. One of the rare non-fantasy books that I own. And I remember I really liked this one, too, and I bought it when I was pretty young at the book fair. I remember it was really emotional for me for some reason. I don't quite remember why, though, but kind of looking at the... Sorry, that was Skype. Kind of looking at the cover makes me feel a little, like, melancholy. Next I have the Maximum Ride trilogy, which while I was reading, I really, really liked it. And then I tried rereading it once, and I just could not stand it all of a sudden. Like, the writing was annoying me so much. So, based off of that, I think I really like the plot of them, but I don't think I'm a big fan of the writing style, and I think that's what kept me going through it the first time. But, yeah, I don't know if I could ever read them more than once. But I still own them, and they're good, so yeah. And I don't own the whole series, because the whole series is huge. This is the Fugitives trilogy. Yeah. are the first three books. I think there's only three books in The Fugitives. I'm not sure. Animal Farm. Gosh, I love Animal Farm. Fairest, which is written by the same girl that did Ella Enchanted. Something Levine. What's her first name? Let's see. Gail, that's what it is. Gail Carson Levine. Nice. Yeah. I never actually finished that book. I think I bought this one when I was really little, too. I bought lots of books when I was younger. I still buy lots of books. I just love being surrounded by books. It makes me really happy. It's like surrounded by stories more than yourself. I don't know. There's something magical about that. Then I have a collection of short stories by Alfred Hitchcock, A Month of Mystery. I don't know if this is like a compilation that he made or if he actually wrote all of these. I can't remember. Yeah, I think they're all by him. No, wait, they're not by him. They are by other people. Yeah, I tried to read this like in 1 month, like how it was supposed to be a month of mystery, because it's just a whole bunch of mystery stories, and I think there's like 30 or 31 of them, but I got through about, I only had like 10 stories left, and I got into a different book instead, and then my dog is crying at my door. I hope you can't hear that, but there's a box in front of the door, so I can't open it. Oh dear, she will just have to wait. But yeah, so I did finish this, but I didn't finish it in 1 month, so I remember being disappointed in myself because of that. The Red Pyramid by Rick Riordan, or Rick Riordan, I don't know how you say it. I didn't like this series as much as I liked the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series. But yeah, so the first book was the only one that I read. But it was still good, it just wasn't as good as Percy Jackson and the Olympians. The Uninvited, another horror novel. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, about Christianity. Inkspell. The Inkspell trilogy, gosh. The first book was so good, and then the second book was like okay, and then the third book was absolute crap, in my opinion. It was so slow and just bleh. But the first one was really good, and I think the second one is like somewhere at my dad's house, so I don't even know where it is, and I don't own the third one. But the first one is something I can be proud of owning, because it's a really good book. Let's see, I'm trying to strategically stack these in my box that I'm using. I don't know what this is. What is this? Oh! Sabine's notebook? Okay, looking at this cover, this looks so... Oh, wait, there's a note on the front. Oh, my gosh. It looks like my dad's handwriting. I think he probably gave this to me some year for, like, my birthday or Christmas. I can't read the note on the front, though, because it's really hard to read. Let's see... My dog is sniffing at the door. I apologize. Ah, she's crying. Oh, I'm gonna let her in. Let's see. Oh, you're about to hear weird noises. I apologize. Hey, Bella. I'm recording, so be quiet, okay? She wants me to rub her belly. Of course. Oh no, when I moved the box, all the books fell over on the inside. They were so neatly stacked. Okay, I can kind of push them back up. It's alright. We're good. The Great Gatsby is... Gosh, now she's like rubbing her face all over the carpet right next to my computer's mic. Lovely! Okay, next is The Great... Bella, that was a disgusting noise. Okay, next is The Great Gatsby, which we read, ninth grade, I believe. Or was it sophomore? Yeah, it was sophomore year we read this. It was our summer reading, assignment between ninth grade and sophomore year. And I did not like this book. I know it's a classic, and I know I'm supposed to like it, but I really didn't. It was just so boring, and I didn't like any of the characters. They were all just bad people. Bella, no. Don't. That's my bags. Then, that was also a disgusting noise, Bella. My dog makes weird noises. Again, I apologize. I'm sorry I apologize so much for my dog's noises. I know I do it on Mumble, too, and gosh, you probably don't even care, but I just feel like I should be sorry, but then I know that I say it so much, so sorry for saying sorry, I guess. Yeah, okay, I don't know if I want to bring this book with me to college. It's a book that we had to read in confirmation class called How to Find Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul, basically about, you know, what you should look for in a man and, you know, dictating your love life, like religion does. I just threw that book on the ground. I threw it on the ground. maybe I'll pack it. I don't know. Haven't made up my mind yet. Depends on how much room I have. John Steinbeck, The Winter of Our Discontent. Good book. Into the box it goes. Star Spangled Stories, which is a very, very special book, and I will not tell you guys why. You'll have to ask me, and then maybe I'll tell you. But yeah, Star Spangled Stories is interesting for me for reasons. I'm trying to fit it in this box or see where it can fit most efficiently. Alright, that was my first, like, shelf on my bookshelf. Did that make sense? Yeah, I think that made sense. Now we're on to the next one. Okay, actually, I'm gonna close up this box, and because tape is, like, so loud, I'm gonna, like, stop the recording and then start the recording again whenever I tape up the next box and, yeah, do that. So, pause. And back. That box took way longer, taping up, like, the bottom side than I expected. It was really hard. I, like, messed up 10 times. Okay, and now I'm putting in the Hunger Games trilogy, and I've still not found anyone ever that, like, really dislikes Hunger Games, at least the books. I have met people that don't like the movies, but they're just such good books. You can't help but really like them. Oh, okay. Now we're getting to the higher parts of my shelf, which are the parts that I, filled more when I was younger. So there's lots of stuff here that I liked when I was younger and that I still like, but yeah, I guess they're not as adult or something. Yeah. This is the one that I'm looking at right now is a book of fairy poetry, and it has really, really beautiful illustrations on the inside, and it's full of poetry about fairies. Allow me to give you an excerpt. Let's see. The Painted People. I don't know who they are, but when it's shadow time, in the woods where the trees crowd close, with bristly branches crossed from their secret hiding places, I have seen the pointed people gliding through brush and bracken. Yeah, it's just lots of poems like that. And gosh, I love the illustrations in this book. I remember them, you know, fueling so many of, like, my magical fantasies when I was little. A lot of writing inspiration, too, when I was younger. Yeah, and my dog is walking around my room again, so sorry again, and sorry about being sorry, and blah blah blah. All that good stuff. Okay, so yeah. Packing that one down. Oh god, I'm about to sneeze. Ah. Okay, I think it's gone. Ah, blah, blah, blah. And that is my dog. Again. This next one is another fairy book, but it's an informational guide to fairies. And it's another one with really, really gorgeous illustrations. Let's see. I'll read the table of contents just because I think the subject matter covered in this book is so cool. Let's see. Where is the... Maybe I don't have a table of contents. What kind of book doesn't have a table of contents? Oh, whatever. They talk about, like, the realms of fairies, and they talk about terminology and stuff like that, and the denizens, fairies. And they quote historical people like Richard III saying stuff about fairies. And they give you specific kind of like encyclopedia-ish information on different species, like the Fuca or leprechauns, pixies, jack and irons, knuckle abbey. I don't know what that is. I'll read to you what it is because it says it right here. It is surely the most awful of the Scottish sea fairies. A monstrous horse with legs that are part flipper, a huge mouth, and one fiery eye rising from its back, joined to it at the waist. What is my dog eating? Just a sec, guys. I need to solve this mystery. Bella, where are you? And what are you eating? Okay, and back. Crisis averted. My dog was trying to eat one of my socks, which is not a very nice thing to do. And I lost the page that I was on reading about whatever I was reading about. But yeah, anyway, this book is really cool. And I'm packing it now. And it's bigger than the book that I had under it, so I'm gonna switch their positions. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. Next, I have the first four books in A Song of Ice and Fire, which is a lovely series, and so is the TV show. I haven't read all four yet, though. I've read 2.5, about, and I'm not quite sure when I'm going to get back to them. I'll get back to them one day, though, maybe if I'm ever in the mood. but there's lots of other books that are, like, before it, I guess, on my list right now. So we'll just have to see. I have lots of figurines on my shelves, too, so I'm moving those out of the way so that I can get to my books. Unsurprisingly, my dog is still, like, smacking on her lips, so I apologize again. I'm sorry. I'll try to stop talking about my dog. Okay, yeah, so I have lots of figurines, and most of them are fairies. They're little, like, clay figures, and I really, really love them. There's something that I started collecting when I was in second grade, and I think they're gorgeous, and they're like one of my favorite things that I have in my room. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different ones of like the same brand, and then I have some other like random fairy figurine things. Yeah. The Hot Zone. Oh gosh, this book is so cool. I started reading it this year. And I only have like a chapter left. I should probably just finish that tonight because it's so good. It's about the first big outbreak of Ebola. And the reason that I started reading it was because there's the Ebola outbreak last summer. And my mom is a disease researcher, and so I was talking a lot about the outbreak because I was interested in it, and because I knew that she would be happy that I was interested in it, so she was the first person that I should talk to if I did have any questions about it, basically. And so yeah, she and I talked about the Ebola outbreak a lot because it was something that we were both fascinated by, and she told me to read this book because it was so good, and it is good. It's technically like a historical science informational novel, like it's all true, but it's written so well, and I love this book. It's so good. it's really graphic and gross, and the suspense is like intense. it's really amazing. All right, next I have two books by Sharon Creech, The Wanderer and The Love That Dog. Both of these I read in fourth grade, I believe. And yeah, definitely some of my favorites. I remember I really, really liked Sharon Creech when I was younger. Then I have Lemony Snicket's Who could that be at this hour? I've read all of the series of unfortunate events, and whenever this book came out, it was kind of supposed to be like a little bit more backstory, but like a totally different story, kind of. And whenever I read the series of unfortunate events, I had just gotten them from my library. I never owned any of them. So this is the only one that I own, which is really random, and it's not near as good as the series of unfortunate events, but I own it for whatever reason, and I'm packing it because I have a hard time letting go of books. Next is Stargirl by Jerry Spinelli, which is really depressing. It's kind of a kid's novel because, you know, it's about a kid. She's really young in the book, but she's really depressed for, I don't remember how old she was. Let's see. I'm not going to apologize for my dog who is making weird noises right now that I would apologize if I had promised that I would not apologize for it. Let's see. Okay. Oh, 12. She's 12. I found it on the first page. Yeah. Like a real detective. She's 12 years old in the book, and it's just a really depressing story. 12-year-olds should not have the kinds of thoughts that she has in this book. Not saying that I didn't when I was 12, but, you know. Yeah, okay. Enough sadness. I'm gonna keep packing. Oh gosh, The Uglies Cycle is great. If any of you haven't read The Uglies series, it's so good. It's like a sci-fi futuristic thing, and it's like about teenagers, and pretty much anything I say will spoil things for you, but they live in a society where like at the age of 16, I believe, it might be 18, I can't remember, but they have like an operation that makes them pretty so that everyone's treated more equally, but it actually like dumbs them down and stuff. And it was one of the first books in the wave of dystopian future novels to come out and be successful. It's really good. It's like genuinely really good, by Scott Westerfield. I love Scott Westerfield. All of his series are just really, really good. And the next series that I have is also by him, and it's the Midnighters trilogy, which I cried so much in. Oh my gosh. I mean, I didn't cry so much. It was just the last book that, yes, it's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. So good. And next, oh gosh, here comes my cat's shelf. The only thing that I have that's not in the Cats series is the book I Am a Cat by Sosuke Natsume, that's probably how you say it. And I think it started as like some kind of comic or some sort of thing that she did in like a newspaper or something like that, or a journal, but people loved it so much that she decided to make a novel out of it. And that's what this is, and it's really, really cool, and it's really, really good, and it's really witty, and it's about a cat, and it's kind of cynical, and it's funny. Yeah, I really like it. And then the rest of that shelf on my bookshelf is the Cats series. Gosh, it's a long, long series. I think I started reading them when I was in fifth grade, and they stopped coming out just like 2 years ago when I was in 10th grade, or maybe it was 11th grade, I don't know, but they busted those books out for as long as they possibly could, man. And I own all of them, and they're all pretty good. They even have like some of them are like comic books, and some of them are like novels, and some of them are like side stories, backstories, prequels, stuff like that. It's, I don't know, they're really cool. It really does a good job of creating like a whole world, that series. So I'm just gonna grab these in handfuls and put them in. Yeah. these book sounds don't like hurt anyone's ears. I have a feeling they would sound good. I would like them. I don't know. I like noises. Yeah, whenever I get to the older books in the Cats series, like the newer ones, I was buying them and ordering them as soon as they came out, but I started reading it after it had already become kind of, you know, known and stuff. So the first books that I own are like all paperback. The first two series within the bigger series. I don't know. I'm messing up on my terminology here, but whatever. Let's see. Oh my gosh, so many books. I think I own like 20 of these, and they're all, they're not small books. I wouldn't call them big books either, but you know, they're like, let's see, they're a good like 300 pages, I would say, 300, 400. Yeah, about 300. I don't know if I'll be able to fit them all in this box. Okay, I got it. We're good. And then I have some plays written by my great-grandfather. So I'll put those in. He wrote religious plays. They're pretty cool. They're fun to look at. And then I have more fairy figurines. Some of the wings fell off of them, and I keep telling myself I'm gonna glue them back on. And I should probably do that before I leave, I guess. Next, I have two books written by my great-grandmother, and yes, she was the wife of my great-grandfather that wrote those plays. Yeah. So I'll put those in there. And then I have the Spiderwick Chronicles, which I was obsessed with in second and third grade. God, I love those books. I have like a whole bunch of like the books about the Spiderwick Chronicles, like the Care and Feeding of Sprites and the Notebook of Fantastical Observations and the Fueled Guide and stuff like that. I was shamelessly obsessed. I have a thing for fairies, in case any of you haven't noticed. I do have the entire Percy Jackson series, but I have an extra copy of The Lightning Thief. That's a hard copy, and it's signed by Rick Riordan, and it says "To Tessa" on it, and then his name. Yep, and it's great, and I'm gonna put it in my box of happy things. Not happy things, book things. And then I have two babushkas and one little figurine thing that like has flowers on it. I don't know what to call it. It's kind of like a fairy, but it's not really a fairy like my other ones. Okay, and that's the end of that box. So I will be right back, and I'm pausing this recording right now. Okay, back, and I have moved to the other side of my room, so sorry if the sound is different. Also, my mic is now closer to the air conditioner, so there might be some like background noise. I apologize. And I'm even facing further away from the computer. This is bad setup, but I'm going to keep going with it anyway. Now I'm on my last actual bookshelf that I have books on. And actually, most of the stuff on this shelf is like crafts and stuffies and trinkets and stuff like that. And then the rest of my books and stuff are kind of just scattered about my room in stacks, according to series or author. I can totally speak, it's fine. And so the books that I have on this bookshelf are books that I've only read once and kind of only plan on reading once, because you kind of get the idea, I guess, once you read through them. They're classics, and they're favorites of mine, and they're things that I'm going to be exposed to whether or not I read them, so I only feel the need to read them once. It might be easier if I just tell you what the books are so you understand what I mean, but to get to them I have to get through all of these jars of origami stars that I've made, because they're behind them, so I'm kind of laying them down right now. Okay, so the first book is a huge collection of all of Shakespeare's works ever. It has all of his plays and all of his sonnets and all of his everything, and it has scans of all of the original plays that we still have, and it has lots of history about him. It's like everything Shakespeare ever. Then I have a collection of Euripides and a collection of Sophocles plays, and then I have separate single copies of Oedipus by Sophocles, Romeo and Juliet, A Winter's Tale, and Twelfth Night, and then I have Phantom of the Opera and Japanese Tales, which is like folklore from Japan. And then I have a collection of Robert Browning, who is one of my favorite old as an adjective describing English poets. Yeah, okay. He's one of my favorite old poets from England. There we go. He's one of my favorite old poets from England. And William Blake, I have a collection of his too. Also one of my favorite old poets from England. Then I have Grimm's Complete Fairy Tales by Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm. And then I have all of Arabian Nights, or the 1001 Nights. And then I have more fairy figurines, and I have this giant decorative dog teapot with a crown on it, which is kind of goofy looking, but I like it, and it's abstract, and it's art, and it's cool. Okay, and then I have some really old Walt Disney books. I have Walt Disney's Worlds of Nature, which my mom had when she was a kid, and they're, I don't know, it's just really old things that Disney used to do. I have Walt Disney's Stories from Other Lands. And then I have, you know, actually, since I used to be my mom's, maybe I should give them to her instead of taking them to college. I don't know. I'll pack them for now and then ask her later. I have Walt Disney's Fantasyland. Oh my gosh, these books. They have that really old book smell. Gosh, I love that. Ah, yay. And then Walt Disney's America. And I believe those are all the books I have on that shelf. I have some old yearbooks from school and things like that. Oh, wait, I have one more book. This one from the other side of my room is another Shakespeare book. It's not the complete work of Shakespeare. Complete works of Shakespeare, but it's a lot of works of Shakespeare, and it feels really good. It's like, just feels really good to hold, and my grandfather got it for me, or he didn't get it for me. It was one of his books that he gave to me, which is the best kind of book. Books that used to belong to other people, or I don't know. There's something about like sharing a story with someone, like you read a story or you read a book and it's really close to you, and then you decide to give that to someone else, like, I don't know, that's just, you form a bond, like a really unique bond whenever you share books, or I think it can go from music to music or TV shows. Yeah, it's different from giving them like a material present. Giving someone a story is something more. Yeah. I need to figure out how I'm gonna pack these stars. I guess I should, like, get a cap for the jars. I don't know. I'll figure that out. Anyway, this is the end of that recording. Those are, most of my bookshelves. There's the one that I packed before this, before recording, but, yeah. Thank you for listening, and holy crap, this is really long. But goodbye!